I've done the wrong thing. Hang on. Something like that. Hollyoaks. Hello!
Hello! Just waiting for Ben to be finished so that we could start business. I just thought I'd treat you to a little bit of the behind-the-scenes palaver I have to do to get Ben to focus. It's like
I was focused.
Some
was
sort
part of it.
Half-trained monkey that I have to tease into his chair.
See, the reality is, I was like, right, when we start, when we fucking starting, and then as soon as you press record, bang, bang, I'm in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hooping and a jiving. It's like cannon and ball.
How have you been, Ben?
Hi.
That's not the answer to that question.
Hi, I've been very high. I've been good, been good. I've been resting, you know, between...
You deserve
between
it.
Between projects, you know, between jobs.
You've been working really hard.
Sure.
You know, pulling faces in front of a camera while the rest of us visit an office day in, day out, trying to make the world a better place, but failing miserably at every turn.
I try and make the world a better place with laughter.
Oh, is that why you do it?
Yeah, that's why I do it, for the people.
I was wondering, why is it that gives so much of himself?
Yeah, it's just the laughter.
Yeah, not getting a job and then
it is a job.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not a full-time job.
No, most of those days.
No, it's a lovely job. Yeah, but when
most
you're
of
not,
those days, annual leave. Aren't
when
they?
You're not working, when you're not working, you've got to like relax and get the character that you've just played out of your system.
Oh, it's a sort of detox process.
Yeah. It's very. It's you have to just wash him away. You know.
Right.
I'm just getting over my character that I played in that film.
You're so deep and complex, Adams.
I am. Well, I'm very method. When I get into a role...
How long did it take to get the Broadband Choices character out of your system? I mean, imagine you would have had to go pretty deep into that psyche.
I changed my broadband 5 times in a year.
Shit.
Yeah, I couldn't stop.
Because you were so indecisive.
Yeah, I couldn't stop comparing.
But you'd think...
I was just like, shit.
I've been all right. I've been good. I did a gig.
You didn't ask you?
Yeah, no, I just thought I'd just, you know, sort of...
You wait to be asked.
No, I don't. Because
how are you, Ollie?
I know I'll never be asked.
How are you, Ollie?
Fine. No, I'm good. I did a gig, which I haven't done in a long time. It's self-imposed miserable exile from it, but it went really well. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
I rediscovered...
I like how you had to put that, like, positive at the start of something, like...
Oh yeah, no. It's important for this positive to be seen in its full context of the abject misery of the rest of my life.
Right, sure.
But you know, I managed to get through all that and do a gig, and it was really good fun.
Good stuff.
But at the same time, it was a little bit bittersweet because I thought, this has made me feel really good, and it feels sort of right, which means I do have to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And like going, because that's what's good. It seems like that's what's good for me. But then, is that what stand-up wants me to think?
I found
that I'm reliant on it, that I need it, and that it will eventually kill me.
I found that stand-up was too much of a fluctuation.
Mm.
It's too much amazing shit, amazing death,
yeah.
Amazing kill me now.
Yeah,
and I'm just not healthy, couldn't deal with it. It's too much.
Yeah, I suppose so. But
and it's the weird thing is, the weirdest thing about stand-up is you can't... You never kind of get... You think that it's you're going to give material out and then it's going to be direct feedback. Straight away, you're going to get the feedback on whether that's a good joke or a bad joke. But that's not the case because you have to try it out with so many different audiences and then compare it and think, oh, well, it worked with 10 out of 15 times.
Mm.
It's just so... you can just lose yourself in that.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking hard.
It's easy to go... insane for the reasons, I mean, it's well documented, I guess, that, you know, people that do stand up have this weird relationship to it and have all these mental health problems, but I don't think that it's because people still sort of believe that, you know, if you get that laugh, then that's sort of enough.
Yeah.
But it, after you've been doing it a while and you learn to doubt even laughs,
yeah,
so you're second guessing even like good gigs that go well. You think, but was it the right kind of laugh? Were the laughs deep and coming from a deep, rich, bonding kind of place, or was it more he's pulling funny faces? Oh, this guy's weird kind of place, which wouldn't be, you know, satisfying. That one.
I like when you do the faces.
Yeah. I mean, it does go well when I do more faces and voices. But
yeah, but you back it up. It's not like you're just doing a face or a voice.
I try. Yeah, I try.
You're not going and waiting for them to laugh.
That's good, that bit.
Yeah, I know.
Do that again. I'll pay for that. Sure.
There you go. Done.
You should come back to the circuit, Adams.
Yeah. I'll do that bit and I'll do my other new bit.
Yeah.
Bagel, 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 bagel.
I didn't know where it was going at the beginning, but then it carried on. It was good, yeah.
So he thought, well, this isn't nonsense. He thought about it because it's carrying on more than...
It took me on a journey, and at first I wasn't sure, but I was glad I stuck it through to the end.
So those are my two new bits that I'm thinking of.
I think there'll be a smash hit. But it is a bit, yeah, I mean, I feel a bit like that bit in, Godfather, Scarface, one of those gangster movies where they're like, just when you thought I'd gotten out, they dragged me back in. Feels a bit like that with stand-up now, because that gig went so very well, and, I mean, it wasn't like I'm the God's gift to comedy, but the way it felt, and the connection to the audience, the reaction they had, the way I was playing around with them.
God's gift to comedy.
For a brief moment.
Yeah, but you do.
You do feel like that. You feel like, I am great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I shouldn't kill myself.
Yeah.
But then, you know, days afterwards when you haven't had
But you're not thinking, the thing is...
You're jonesing for a fix.
You're not thinking, I am great. You're just thinking, I am accepted.
Yeah.
Just for a tiny bit, you're like, I'm part of it. Mm. Whereas normally I feel so outside of everything.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, when you're not gigging, seeing through social media and through other people that you know is like that the world is carrying on without you, and you even though you can even sort of quit. I feel like if I quit stand up, this is the saddest thing about it. If I did just decide to stop for whatever reason, my mental health, for just practicality, for whatever, I think I would probably for the rest of my life feel weirdly lonely, like outside of that circuit, like it's going on without me and all those people are still doing it and going to gigs and I'm not. Even though it would make no sense, I would feel almost like I had lost some friends, or
that's exactly how feeling I feel,
like excluded, almost as though it wasn't my choice to do that. Like those people don't speak to me anymore, because you wouldn't see them.
No,
you wouldn't see them outside the gigs much.
No,
and everyone's always busy trying to invite a comedian or whatever around for dinner. Just let's not go to a gig, let's just hang out. It can be very difficult when they're gigging. So I don't know. I should probably give it another go, but I just slightly dreading what it might do to me. But let's see.
I mean, give it a go.
I'm dead in 6 months, you'll know what finally killed me. Recommendations. Minimalist this week. Good.
Yeah, no, that was the opening one.
Right.
Because I started with kind of like
your
recommendation, and then my head went, "You're not supposed to do it for this bit, Ben."
Right.
And then, so I thought I'll change the trajectory.
You're just establishing an audio motif for the episode
to
be picked up again later on.
Yeah,
it's very clever. Have you watched Early Doors?
Yeah, no, that was good. That.
Yeah, what was your favourite bit?
I thought the bit with the doors was good.
Yeah?
And then he comes in and he's like, whoa, I don't start to wait. I like that bit.
Yeah. What other bits? What was your favourite?
When he picks up the drink and he's got that drink and he's like, anyone for another?
Yeah. yeah, classic.
I liked that.
Sure. Who was your favourite character?
The woman.
She's good. Yeah.
She is good.
The woman.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah.
And she comes and she's like, get back, I don't care about, it's a meat raffle. Get back here.
Ooh.
And then he's like, but I could win a pound of ham.
So why haven't you watched it?
I just haven't had the time.
I see, very busy man. Well, that will...
I've been watching Comedy Bang Bang a hell of a lot.
Oh, okay, sure.
Watching
Comedy Bang Bang.
Just watching Comedy Bang Bang.
You're watching something else.
Exactly.
You're supposed to watch Early Doors at the same time.
It's very
hard. You've made the choice to watch something else.
Well...
Rather than what you were set to do.
There's another reason. I've been playing Resident Evil 7.
Sure.
a hell of a lot.
Acting as though these are things that have happened to you rather than choices you've made.
No, they are choices, but I chose to do those things other than watch Early Doors.
Yeah, so it's your fault. There's no excuse.
Do you know what? Ollie never does my fucking recommendations.
Well, I have done your fucking
recommendation. I know you have, yeah. I know, and I feel bad now.
Yeah. But I could have chosen. This is what you do.
You're like an abusive husband.
I watched Rango. Huh?
Did you like it? Oh, come on, it was good.
It was one of them films where the animation was very good, and I liked a lot of the character designs and the voices and stuff.
And the plot.
But I didn't really like the plot or the characters or Johnny Depp. Or I just didn't think it was very memorable. Except for the fact that is it a kid's movie? Is it a kid's movie?
I don't know.
Because it's quite sort of grotesque. Mm. Like one of the opening scenes is just a squashed armadillo. Like,
yeah.
With all his guts hanging out. And it's horrible. It's fucking grotesque.
Yeah.
Didn't really... It was fine.
Well, I liked it.
What is it about? It's about a lizard and he's domesticated...
Well, a chameleon.
He's a chameleon. Don't never uses his chameleon powers. Notice that?
Are you kidding me?
There's no real point to him being a chameleon. He uses it like once.
He uses it a lot.
Yeah, he uses it like once. There's no quite a point. Bit. I mean, other than the fact that he looks a bit weird, there's no point for him to be
quite a bit. And also he dresses up as other people. He acts... Interesting. So he is like a chameleon of sorts.
Didn't really like it.
I can't imagine you paid much attention because you were like, it's about a lizard.
A chameleon is a lizard.
Never uses his chameleon powers.
Well, he never does.
And both of those things are wrong from the start.
And he's domesticated, and then his tank falls out of a car, and then there's like a little animal town in the desert. For some reason, and all the animals are the same size.
No, they're not.
Yeah, pretty much.
No.
There's one that's clearly a cat who's the same size.
They're not the same size. There's a whole snake in it that's huge.
Yeah, the snake, sure. Because the villain, they need to make him big.
But they're all kind of like lizards and armadillos.
There's a cat there, it's the same size as a chameleon. What kind of chameleon are you talking about? It's the same size as a cat. No. I mean, show me that chameleon and I will eat my hat.
There is no cat that's the same size as...
Sure there is.
There isn't.
So I liked the bits where there was like a funny looking rodent going, oh, gee, howdy, how are you going to do that, boo? That was kind of good fun because, you know...
So you like the funny voices.
Yeah, I like the funny voices because there was no plot to enjoy.
I bet you like The Secret Life of Pets. But you'd like
I've
that.
Never seen it.
That's like no plot, nothing. It's just funny voices. And like the dog's like, I'm going to walk around my bed because that's what dogs do.
So what was so great about Rango that I missed?
The fact that it was good, but without being too good.
Middle of the road.
I really enjoyed
middle
it.
Middle of the
I
road,
like the story.
Absolutely. What was the story?
There's a guy who... I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
There is a guy who's withholding all the water.
Story is
so basically, Rango turns up to this town, and they're all kind of like, the water comes every Friday.
Like Mad Max.
Like Mad Max. Exactly like Mad Max. Do you think that's where he got the idea from?
No.
I think... I don't know. It's very similar.
You think that Mad Max is just a Rango rip-off?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I enjoyed Fury Road, but everybody knows it's ripping off Rango, which is several years its predecessor. That's absolutely outrageous.
It's pretty bad, though, isn't it? So basically, it's the plot of Mad Max. And then Rango comes along and they start trying to get the water back, don't they?
Sure.
And it's a good rip-roaring adventure.
Is that an adventure?
Yeah, starring a fish out of water type. Becoming a zero to hero, that old story.
It's fine. I'm not saying it's bad. I just,
you wouldn't.
Aside from the animation looking very...
The animation was great.
The animation was great, yeah.
Great.
Very weird. Everyone looked ugly and yet kind of interesting. And the character design was top notch. But, nothing to write home about. Didn't make me laugh.
Really?
No. Apart from, the funny voices.
The funny voices, yeah. Derpy,
derpy. I liked the little, I think it was meant to be a mouse. It had a little long-haired mouse with a hat on and he kept going, yeah, let's go get him. That was good. I liked it.
That was good. So you'd like storks?
Yeah, well, you've recommended me that, but I thought, seeing as you clearly were not going to watch Early Doors...
Which I did
despite
watch.
The provision of the DVD box set, I would not watch two,
I will watch it.
Two
watch
kiddie it. Movies okay. for children.
But they're not, you know, just...
For okay. small, but tiny little look, baby children.
Look.
Yeah.
End of the day.
I've shamed you into full Farrow.
I do that all the time.
Mm.
Look, the British jobs... So all week I've been thinking about this prediction because okay. I watched The Founder.
Yes, with Michael Keaton.
And
I think you mentioned it last week. Did you talk about it last week? Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And maybe I said this last week. Did I?
I don't know.
Michael Keaton is going to come back as Batman.
But you didn't say that.
No.
What?
I know. You heard it here. First,
you think the Keats
well, because,
is going to don the cowl right. once more?
Ben Affleck ain't happy. He ain't happy.
No, because everyone's saying
DC that everything is going shit up.
Yeah.
Right? It's going balls up. They're going to have to reboot. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is at the moment in the prime of his acting career.
Mm-hmm.
He's just about to play a bad guy in Spider-Man, and it's going to blow everyone out of the water. People are going to be like, fuck me. That was amazing. Michael right. Keaton made that film. He's great. Then they're going to be like,
I don't know if he can be Birdman, Eagle Face, what's he called? The Vulture.
And Batman.
Nah. He can't be like one of the main big Spider-Man villains and the Batman at the same time.
Yeah, but not at the same time. I'm talking like in a few years' time.
But can he? What sort of Batman's he going to be? Old. Super old.
Yeah.
Very much old.
Yeah.
Elderly.
Like Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
It's like a real struggle. When Batman's fighting Superman, it like, this is the last thing he needs to do on Earth. This is his curtain call.
Right.
He's like, I've got to do this. Bah, bah, bah. Don't matter if I break. Whereas in Batman vs Superman, it's just...
poo.
Shit.
From start to finish.
Shit. Should be an old man that's like... ugh. I feel two hips go.
Speaking of DC, I've been reading a lot more of Injustice, and I'm on year four now.
Whoa!
And I have to say, you know, it's getting a bit like, I liked year one, and at first I was thinking, oh, this is like even more compulsive than when I was reading... Irredeemable, which is very similar in the kind of Superman goes bad kind of setup, and people are getting very worried about the power that Superman has and what he's going to do with it now that he's gone all wrong. But then, as when year two arrives and year three and year four, it's like, this year we have to deal with all the people from this guy's homeworld. So, like, year two is all the lanterns coming. Year three is
That's good though. Yeah.
Is all the magic people and all the kind of
that was the one I didn't
Constantine
like as much.
And all that magic shit.
Yeah.
And then year four is like, now all the gods are involved.
Oh,
and
actually,
it's like it's more and more obvious to me that this is written by people that wrote a computer game where superheroes
it's
just fight.
It's not written by a.
But it's like based on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a tie-in. And it just seems like, what if Batman fought Hercules and Shazam fought Mr. Mixcalplips?
Yeah.
And it just seems... And it doesn't help that, not being the biggest comic book guy, I don't know half these characters. And half of the comic is like... ooh, it's that guy after all. He comes bursting through a wall. What's up, bitches? It's this person. And then I don't know who it is. Or like, oh, look who I've got captured. It's Raven.
Raven.
Who?
From Teen Titans.
I don't fucking know who Raven is.
Wow.
And apparently she's the daughter of a demon.
She's the daughter of, what's his face?
Triggle.
No.
She's
the devil, basically.
The daughter of someone called Trigian.
Trigian. Etrigan.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. Etrigan, I think.
Ooh.
Who lives in Damian blood.
And it just seems like...
yeah, there's a lot.
There's
sure.
a lot of characters, but and you don't know which ones...
are you going to buy Injustice
which
2,
one's the
video
most,
game?
It looks like it could be good fun.
Looks great.
But It's just doing that thing that comic books do when they have too many characters, which is, I don't know what the stakes are because everyone's as powerful as everyone else. And when it gets to the point where, oh, I mean, of course, if you're going to have a fight between Superman and people who are just people in cool costumes who are good at, like, backflips, then, of course, in order to, for them to have a fight, they have to either have a super suit or, like, some sort of magic pill. And so they've just manufactured a magic pill that makes everyone into Superman. And so now everyone's as powerful as everyone else. And so no one's powers or individuality matters because they've all got the same powers. They're all super strong. So when the Huntress punches Wonder Woman, she can knock her, you know, across the room. Whereas it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sort of enjoying it. It's still fun to read a comic and, you know, to pass the time and stuff. But just in terms of the story, I kind of know where it's going. And then we're going to have to, you know, deal with this threat, and then that threat will go, and then next time, oh, Aquaman's getting involved now. We have to deal with the sea people or whatever. Anyway, you mentioned the second Injustice game, so maybe you could talk about the games you've been playing this week, Ben Adams.
Well, obviously I've been playing LEGO Dimensions a hell of a lot.
Sure.
I've been playing the Ghostbusters 2016 LEGO Dimensions set. It's been fun, though.
I'm surprised.
I know, sure, but it's been fun. They don't have the actual voices. The writing is quite funny. So it's
different from the movie.
And you can just put the old Ghostbuster on as well. And just play as him.
Okay.
So it was good.
What other things?
But I've also been playing Resident Evil 7.
Good.
So I wasn't going to play because it looked too scary. But, it's so good. And at first, it is ridiculously scary because you don't have any weapons. It's scary.
So you can only run away.
Yeah, kind of. You might, you know, you get a knife at some point.
Right.
But also the things that come after you, you kind of kill them and then they get back up. And you're in this... The graphics are some of the best graphics I've ever seen. So it looks so real. Yes, horrendously terrifying. But towards the end that I'm at now, you get so many weapons and stuff. It's like classic Resident Evil game.
Right.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Lots of puzzles. It's just very Resident Evil.
It seems a bit odd that it would be... Is it in one house? Or several different houses?
It's like
houses?
An estate, so there's like three different houses.
So how do they keep... Because it seems like just run, right? Just run away from the house?
Yeah, but you can't.
Why not?
Because he's got to save someone.
Oh.
Yeah. Who is... Oh, it's freaky. It's really freaky.
Go on, then.
Well, it's just really scary. You go after your wife or your girlfriend.
Okay.
You're trying to find her, and you're just in this house, and there's no one about. There's spooky things going off. It's a weird house anyway. And then you've got these, like, three hillbillies that are chasing you, and they're just terrifying. They're constantly like, I'm going to get you, boy! And you just hear that. I've used my headset. And you just hear that in surround sound. You're like, oh my God, fuck. And then you shoot them in the head and they're just laughing at you.
Oh, so it's like a sort of redneck Texas Chainsaw Massacre type.
Kind of mixed with Resident Evil. It's still got like a weird virus thing.
But they're hillbillies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they turn into that. They turn into more. It's like, you know, like Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, that was the last time I played one of those.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's the only one I've ever played. It's because people go on about
it. You should play Resident Evil 7.
It seems a bit too scary.
No, it's not. It's good.
I can't get through, like, Alien Isolation because I'm a bit...
Come on.
Like, this is aliens around and everything's dark and scary. I can't watch.
Well, you should. Yeah, but they're so good. But they're so rewarding. Like, if you can get through it... When I was first playing Resident Evil, I was like, come on, Ben. You're a big boy. This isn't real. This is a game. You just got to get to the objective. And if there's an enemy, you shoot them. But you can't help but kind of get wrapped up in it and go, it's good.
It's not often an experience I seek out to be scared.
No, but it's worth it because it's like it's such a cool little adventure. And like there's kind of an enemy in each house.
Right.
And the third, and they're really varying because the first one is very much kind of he's pacing around, he's like Nemesis from Resident Evil 3.
Right.
So you're just kind of like, when you see him, you're like, shit, I can't kill him, I've got to run away. And then the second one, she's got like insects and stuff. And then she's like a big spider. And then the third one is like a saw thing. So you watch a videotape today. I watched a videotape, and it was a guy who, you had to solve a puzzle. You had to light a birthday cake candle. But every time you walked through this hallway, sprinklers would come down and blow your candle out. So yeah, it was a really complex
thing. And ruin the cake, presumably.
Well, yeah.
All melty.
Well, there was lots to it, but it was really, really cool.
Okay.
I'd suggest playing it. If you like Resident Evil.
I'm probably not going to do that.
No, you should. It's really, really good.
Well, not for a long time. I mean, not until it's super cheap. Maybe I'll buy it. When it's...
I rented it. Boomerang Rentals. I'd love them to sponsor us. They're great. You just spend $15.99.
I'm just going to bleep the name of the rentals place. I'm just going to...
Boomerang Rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Boomerang Rentals.
Yeah, keep going.
Boomerang Rentals.
Sure.
And
I'm
you
loving
pay,
it.
I
copy
pay
and paste in the bleep noise.
$15.99 per month, and I get two games at a time. Unlimited amount of games, but only two games at a time.
Right.
And then you send one back, you get another one. And I joined up, and an hour later, Resident Evil was on its way.
How much is it a month?
$15.99 for the priority package.
And that company name again was?
Boomerang Rentals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just going to go, how much was it? Boop.
Yeah.
What was there coming in there? Boop, boop.
What else have I watched? I watched two sort of smarty pants films. Well, they're not smarty pants films, but they're slightly more weighty than the usual stuff we talk about, I guess. Enemy. Have you heard of this? Enemy? Enemy? By the director of Arrival. Denis Villeneuve.
Right.
It's really good.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, yeah, no, it is really, really good. But it's a bit of a head scratcher.
Right.
But it's, I mean,
but
it's,
but is it a head scratcher in the same way Arrival was?
No. It makes sense.
Well,
it's one of these movies that it's fun to talk about afterwards and read about afterwards and see what people's theories are. Because, you know, to be honest, when it ended.
Is that what you're recommending me?
No.
Oh, it sounds quite interesting, though.
You can. It doesn't mean you can't watch it.
It does.
Oh.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll do a double whammy then.
Hmm.
I mean, you're not going to watch either of them. It doesn't make
a
bit of difference. But the thing that I'm going to recommend you this week is something that I think you'll find very fun.
Oh, nice.
But Enemy is Jake Gyllenhaal, and the basic setup is he's playing.
Amy Adams is in it as well.
No. I can't remember who the.
There's a film with Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams, and I don't know what it is.
No idea. It's not this one. There are a couple of actresses in it, but they're not big names. Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, is pretty much the only Hollywood star in it. But he plays a history teacher who is one day watching... This is all in the opening. One day he's watching a film, and he notices that one of the extras in the background looks exactly like him. And then it goes on from there. Basically, he just has this...
Wow.
He has a double, and he's trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. And, yeah, it just goes from there. And for some reason, there's just a guy out there who looks and talks exactly like him with a different name. And I don't want to say any more, because, you know, it's the mystery is part of the fun. Sure.
Is it him at the end, or is it the double?
Sorry?
Is it him at the end, or is it the double?
Is that
what the mystery is?
No. no, it's more. It's slightly more sort of psychological, thrillery than sci-fi. It's more of a... I don't know. It's not like a, Michael Bay, The Island. It's Clones type.
I've seen The Island.
Well, it's Clones. but it's, you know, schlock.
Yeah.
Whereas this is sort of more, slightly more evocative and, you know, what's going on? Is it in his head? Is it really happening?
Yeah. Sounds good.
It does have, Enemy by Denis Villeneuve. And I've liked all of his films that I've seen, except for Sicario.
I haven't seen that either.
Prisoners.
It's supposed to be really good.
No, I didn't like it. But Prisoners is fucking great.
Prisoners.
You should watch Prisoners. It's a really solid, dark kind of thriller. It's, you know, one of those just really well done, nail-bitey type
Prisoners.
Thrillers that's nice and small. It's a small little story. It's Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, I think.
Oh.
I think.
It's a lot of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, but I like him. Mm. Have you seen Nightcrawler.
Yes.
Yeah, bloody great.
I knew you were going to say that. Bloody, it was all right.
Bloody great,
it
Ben.
It was all right.
See, your opinion means nothing.
What? Yeah, but what was so great? It was all right.
It's fantastic.
It was all right.
It's fantastic.
It was okay.
It was fantastic. An Enemy, good film too. And it had one of those endings. I haven't sort of said what the fuck as loud at the television.
Really?
To an ending, I don't think. For a long time, anyway.
Since Brookside.
Thinks what?
Brookside.
Did Brookside end?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. How did it end?
I can't remember.
Why did you bring it up?
Just popped in my head. Because you were like, since.
Okay. No, I would recommend it. Also, I watched Manchester by the Sea. Casey Affleck and what's she called? Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
She's barely in it, so it's a bit slightly dishonestly advertised.
Right.
It's like, oh, Casey Affleck and Michelle Williams in, but she's in like two scenes.
Yeah.
It was really good. But, and it's difficult to. Because you can't really see, it's not something that it hasn't got a high concept. So in order to talk about it, it just sounds like a very dreary film. But it's a good portrait of a character dealing with some pretty heavy stuff, and kind of very good performances, very kind of human and understated. Sorry,
what's that one called?
Manchester by the Sea.
Right,
just a nice melodrama about people and
Manchester.
Some stuff happening. It's not set in the actual Manchester.
No.
It's one of these...
Manchester.
And, like, there was another place called Essex in the same film. I was like, they're just nicking all of our fucking names. But, yeah, it's kind of Boston and repressed emotions, you know, that sort of stuff. Everything bumbling under the... Yeah, you're right to yawn, because... Because the description is you know, it's sort
it's
of...
dull.
It's dull. Dull. But the film's very good. And Casey Affleck... you know, he's always been the much better...
Didn't he get in trouble recently?
Of the two. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he got in trouble recently, being sexist or something.
Uh-oh. But out of the two, I think Casey Affleck...
Is the better of the Afflecks.
He's certainly...
That's Casey Affleck.
Oh, was that your Casey Affleck impression? But that's how you know someone's good, because they mumble.
Yeah. That's how you know.
Mm. Did you have to... You go, what? That's a good performance.
Ian McKellen would mumble, but you can still hear him.
Mm.
Like when he's Gandalf. He'd mumble.
We'll come on to that. Yeah. We'll come on to that. That's a little preview for something we're going to be releasing after this. It's going to be tense. I think tempers are going to flare. We're going to be talking about Lord of the Shits, as I like to call
God.
It. Or Shit of the Shits.
I mean, if you're just going to talk about it insultingly.
Yeah, I'm just warming you up. For what's come in. But first I want to talk about The Get Down.
Sounds awful.
I didn't enjoy it.
What is it?
Next.
The Get Down?
Yeah.
The Get Down?
The Get Down.
What's The Get Down?
It's on Netflix. It's a thing they were making a fuss about a while ago. It's a sort of weird Baz Luhrmann created show about the origin of hip-hop.
Oh,
and
no.
I've watched two episodes of
the
it.
Get Down.
My girlfriend recommended it or wanted me to at least try it, but I just couldn't get on with it.
My girlfriend watches Gilmore Girls.
Oh dear.
Yeah,
I'm sorry about that.
So I mean, what we've got from this is women.
Women.
Stupid.
No taste.
No taste whatsoever.
No taste whatsoever. It's weird because I like. Hip-hop, I'd be interested something that told the origins of it, and I was sort of into the characters, but it's got this, it's a weird mishmash of genres where it's like, it's a bit kind of social realism, like these characters are poor, they don't have much, they're living in poor black neighbourhoods, and they're, you know, getting by, and it's got a lot of nice retro kind of costumes and stuff, but it's also... trying to sort of be a superhero thing. It's not that anyone's got powers, but it's like Grandmaster Flash is a character in it, and he's like the sensei that they're learning hip-hop
Right.
From...
Oh, so it's not, like, taking itself too seriously, then?
No, well, it's... No. It's like Baz Luhrmann. It's a bit like... As shallow as something like Moulin Rouge. But then it's spliced in with all this real footage from the time. So it's really trying to make you feel like this is something kind of authentic. But then there's a marked difference between the real footage, which seems sort of much more interesting, and then it cuts to something that looks far too clean and fantastical. And, you know, it's clear that the main character's superpower is that he's going to be a really good rapper or a really good MC. And then his friend that he meets is like some sort of parkour graffiti ninja character. Oh. And he's good at, he's learning how to DJ, so that's going to be his superpower. And like his sensei is Grandmaster Flash. And
it sounds horrendous.
It could have worked, and for a lot of people it has worked, but I just thought I either want something that's flippant and silly, or I want something that feels authentic and gritty and really tells the story of the origin of this music. Would have been up for that.
Yeah.
But because it's a white Australian man who's created it, it all looks pretty fake. Okay. And like a sort of a musical director's version of what this might have looked like. Which is fine if you want to do that, but it's just not what I wanted out of it.
I watched something on Netflix the other day, the Drew Barrymore thing, the new one, sitcom thing.
Why?
It's just dreadful.
It's called the Something Something Diet.
Yeah, the Something Something. It's horrendous. It's about this guy and his wife, and then she starts eating people. And it's really weird. It's like...
Oh.
Yes, yeah, it's not... But it's like a cheesy sitcom.
Right.
The jokes are just as bad.
Right.
It's all really cheesy, but then they have bits where there's loads of blood. And there's lots of swearing in it, but it doesn't feel natural at all. It's just doesn't.
So Drew Barrymore plays a cannibal
Who like eats people, but she's kind of like, "Oh my god, I love eating people." It's like, oh, that's kind of like the jokes in it.
It sounds a bit.
It's dreadful.
Like the sort of concept where people would be going like, "Drew Barrymore, oh my god,
I'm so."
She's like the girl next door, right? What if?
But she's got an edge to her.
Oh my god, she's got a secret. What's the secret? Tell me. Just sit down. She eats suckers. How about that?
Eats suckers.
She just eats them up.
Holy shit.
And she got all blood and shit like Dexter.
I just remembered something.
What?
We didn't talk about in our Walking Dead episode.
Yeah.
Dwight's lollipops.
Oh shit, we didn't mention Dwight's lollipops. Well, we can briefly mention it now.
And then you can add it in.
No.
No, just keep it on.
I can't, it has a lot of work.
Dwight was...
There was a bit that we both remarked on that was that was very sweet, where he's in the doctor's office, and I don't know whether it was one of those Walking Dead super subtle, we're meant to know symbolically what it means.
But the doctor gave him lollipops.
There's a shot.
Or did he steal the doctor's lollipops?
I don't know.
And that's like...
I don't know.
It's like taking candy from a doctor.
Possibly.
Maybe.
But there was... I would like it if it was just... We see a shot and Dwight is holding out just a full handful of lollipops.
Mm.
And I would love it if it was simply like, well, at least I got my lollipops. Life isn't too bad.
Yeah.
So, and that's like... The next part of his arc is just like,
yeah,
you know, but they do have lollipops here.
No, but he's not.
And he's going to be more aligned with Negan moving forward.
So, back to...
Yes!
What we've watched. Drew Barrymore, yeah, it was rubbish.
The only other thing of note that I've watched this week was that I rewatched Super... And I think it's possibly the third time I watched it, so it's no big deal. But I don't remember loving it quite as much as I did this time. Like, I think I've enjoyed it more and more each time I've watched it. If you've not heard of it, it's a film directed by James Gunn, who did Slither and the Guardians of the Galaxy ones. And it's got Rainn Wilson from The Office in it, and he plays a guy... A bit like Kick-Ass, who wants to be a superhero in the real world. Except, unlike Kick-Ass...
He doesn't really want to be, does he? He's just kind of like... His girlfriend gets kidnapped into drugs, and then he starts kind of...
Yeah, his wife is sort of... Disappears off with these very shady types who are based in some sort of strip club.
Mm.
And is clearly starting to do drugs. And at first it seems like she just left him, and he can't accept it.
Mm.
and he kind of wallows in self-pity and he tries to get it back and fails, and then somewhere along the line he decides to become the Crimson Bolt and try and get her back while also fighting crime, except that a lot of the crime that he fights is sort of quite petty grievances, except for the time that he foils a proper child molester. That was fair enough. But there's, like, you know, people cutting in line and things like that, rather than kind of major crimes. And he just walks around with a wrench, just smacks people over the head with the wrench, and the violence is sort of incredibly grisly. And it walks this kind of perfect line between, you know, you're on his side, you can't help but empathise, but he's also undoubtedly a very dangerous lunatic who needs to be arrested as soon as possible.
There's that weird bit with God.
He has a hallucination where he gets held down by these tentacles and the finger of God touches his brain. And he's clearly just hallucinated the whole thing, but he seems to think it's real. He's just an absolute nutcase. But at the same time, it manages to kind of get you into his motivation. And by the end of it, when he was having his confrontation with Kevin Bacon, I was properly into it. It's like, yeah, get him, the Crimson Bolt, fucking... It's a good one of those parodies which simultaneously, in a really unique way, undercuts the kind of superhero tropes that you're used to, but actually ends up to be a sort of better superhero film than quite a lot of those superhero films in terms of your empathy with the main character and where it goes. And the action and the gore is kind of a lot of good fun, and I would recommend it to anyone. I think it's one of my favourite films that I've seen recently.
Well, I'm very much looking forward to Belko Experiment.
What's that?
James Gunn's new film.
Belko Experiment?
Yeah, the Belko Experiment.
What is that about?
I don't know.
Have you seen a trailer?
No.
But it's just that it's James Gunn.
It's just James Gunn. Yeah. It's a thriller and it's like, I think it's like an 18 or 15.
So it'll be for adults?
Yes. Yeah, looks good.
Hefty amounts of glorious gore.
I hope Guardians 2 is going to be good.
Yeah,
it's getting pushed down my throat a little bit now, and I'm a little bit like, whoa, alright, I liked it, come on.
Yeah, it could always go wrong, but I've got faith. I mean everything that I've seen from James Gunn so far has been good fun. I'm really looking forward to watching Slither, actually, especially now that I've watched Super again.
Yeah, it's good. It's not as good as Super, but it is good.
Sure. But if you're looking for something a bit like Kick-Ass in that it's a sort of indie version of a superhero, but I feel like Kick-Ass at the end basically just becomes a superhero thing.
Yeah, but whereas not in the comic, does it?
Super doesn't.
Yeah.
It hits some of those beats and there's the big action scene at the end, the big rescue, but you never...
Yeah.
I don't think you ever start thinking that he's a legit superhero.
No.
And that he is someone that you should really be rooting for.
But then
for.
He really has helped out that woman's life. Like, he's become her superhero.
Because
she was...
I almost, possibly more than almost, got choked up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's quite, you know, you root for the guy and he has a happy ending of sorts. It's kind of happy, sort of bittersweet. But he's learned something.
Yeah.
He's moved on. He's matured. He's done some self-sacrifice. All these things that these superhero movies are meant to have or kind of pay lip service to having a lot of the time now, but don't really. So watch Super.
Super.
Guys.
Okay, recommendations.
Ooh, recommendations.
You're doing like a David Bowie.
Yeah, like a David Bowie Flight of the Conchords type thing.
I thought more of you. What's your recommendation this week?
This week is... What was yours?
You haven't got one, have you?
Not at the moment.
Well, I'm going to recommend you. If you haven't seen it, fingers crossed, I really hope you've never even heard of it. Turbo Kid.
I've never seen it, but I kind of want to.
Ooh, how convenient. Yeah. What do you know about it?
I know that it's a film, quite low budget.
I guess.
Something that was on YouTube.
I don't know. I don't really know anything about its origin.
Right.
But I can tell you, the reason I'm recommending it to you is it's super 80s. Oh. And I know that you like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
It's. I think the premise is that it's sort of like a dystopian sci-fi that was made in the 80s. Because at the beginning they go, it's the year 1997. the future. And it's all post-apocalyptic. Right. And everyone's on BMX bikes because there's no gas. And it's very retro, but not in a way that seems too nudge-nudge.
I'll watch it. It's nudge, on Netflix. Nudge,
wink, wink. Is it on Netflix? Mm. I didn't... Should have watched it on there. But it's just, yeah, it's really good fun. And it's also incredibly gory.
Mm.
In a very... It's one of those films where the violence is like slapstick.
Yeah.
Super cartoony. Every wound just gushes blood. Yeah, yeah. And...
Is it like Kung Fury?
Yes. But Kung Fury was so super, like, packed in references.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose because they were only going to make one thing, they packed in, like, a whole series or a whole film's worth of ideas into one short. It's similar in that it's looking at the very much to the 80s and everything's all synth. And everything kind of reminds you of what it was like being a kid in the 80s specifically and what you thought was cool.
Mm.
In the 80s, the sort of action heroes that you thought were cool. And but this has got at its the difference, I suppose, is at its centre it has a relationship between the main boy and the main girl that's actually really sweet and has kind of genuine chemistry and, you know, very, they're likeable characters, so it has a little bit more heart to it.
Okay.
And there's something to make you actually engage with the story other than, oh, it's like so 80s, I remember that. Oh, it's a reference to Thundercats. But no, it's it's not perfect. It's not classic, but it's really,
I'll give it a go.
Really
and
good
Enemy
fun.
Enemy as well I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
Enemy and Turbo.
I'll be interested to see what you think of Enemy, because it could be just really frustrating. But I think Turbo Kid's just really good fun.
Okay.
And it's got Michael Ironside in it as the baddie.
Yeah, I know him.
Always good value.
Old Ironside.
Yeah, it's good. Really good.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Turbo Kid.
Might have to pause it.
While you think of a recommendation.
While I think of a recommendation.
Okay. Alright. Well, I think we all know who's bringing it to the table this episode, don't
you
we?
You always spend
gang,
an hour going,
don't
I can't
we,
think of anything.
Don't we gang?
I can't think any... Don't call them
don't
gang.
We, don't we gang. Gang?
I call them gang.
Gang.
I've mentioned it before on the podcast.
You thought of one?
Yes, I've thought of a recommendation.
Okay.
And I've mentioned it before
okay.
on the podcast.
Yep.
But I can't remember. I don't think you've played it. Papers, Please.
Papers, Please.
It is a game that you can play on the internet, I believe. Just
okay.
search for it.
Right.
And it's really, really good.
Can I play it on something that isn't a laptop?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. You have to find out.
Because I haven't got one.
Oh, maybe I should back up.
It's all broken, hence the terrible recording.
I'm sure you can get something.
Terrible recording quality that
we
have now.
I reckon you could probably... Maybe you can't. I don't know. I'm sure you can.
I'll try, but...
there's an app.
I've got Storks.
I doubt there'd be an app.
To watch anyway.
Storks, yeah, you got Storks to watch.
So even if I don't manage to play Papers,
Please. And then maybe, you know, after you play Papers, Please, you'll have a different, similar view on immigration as I do. No, it's really, really good. It's really
Does
good.
Does it hate, you start... make you hate immigrants?
No, it makes you go, oh God, these poor immigrants. They're just people.
Mm.
Some of them are evil, and you have to watch out for them and die. you don't stamp their passport.
So it's a sort of bureaucracy simulator.
Yeah, it's great.
And you play a border guard.
And you have to you have to earn as much money as you can.
Mm.
But some people will be like, I haven't got this file. And you're like, oh God, you're holding me up. And the more people you do in a day, the more money you get to feed your family. And slowly you just watch your family die and you get less and less money and you're just trying to get these people through as fast as you can. And it's really tough.
Okay. All right, Papers, Please. And your recommendation again is Turbo.
Is Turbo Kid and
Enemy.
Enemy.
Why not?
Why not?
Join us again!
Bye, everyone!
Bye!
Bye!